I want to ask you to turn to the book of Jude this evening. For a title this evening, I just want to simply title this message, Stay True to the Truth. Stay true to the truth. I know that when I preach this evening, I try to be very sensitive to my audience in regards to how I preach and what I say, and how that sometimes it seems like that when you're up here and you preach what you preach, and you're preaching to aged saints, mature saints, I mean, those that have endured the storms of life, and you have lived for God longer than I've been alive. Many people have. It sometimes makes me feel like that the words that I would speak are somewhat inadequate as to what might need to be said. But on the other hand, I never know who's going to walk through these doors from at any given time. And as I have already said in days gone by accident, a sinner might hear a message and get under conviction and might get saved. Or somebody may hear this online and maybe it will change their life. And what I have to say this evening, hey, it is okay for you to say amen. It don't scare me. It don't disturb me. Now, if somebody got up and was screaming amen and doing jumping jacks over in the corner, I may have to say, a moment and let me get my bearings and, you know, we'll all help you together. But the reason I said that is because what I have to say tonight is probably not going to make anybody shout. It's probably not going to be one of them, whoo, boy, wasn't that a good one when you go home tonight. I believe that what God's put in my heart tonight is a solemn warning to the church. Because we are living, maybe not you, but at large in America, we are living in some dangerous times. We are living in days that we, and I say we, I mean me too. I didn't think I would ever see days like I see now. I mean, I thought those days would be something that none of us would ever have to experience because of what we see on TV and in our society today, and exactly what the Word of God says will happen. Now, I will say this before I read anything else or go into the book of Jude, that when you see some of the things happening now, it is no time for the church to be discouraged. Now, I see people and I talk to people from time to time that are Bible-believing, God-fearing, blood-bought, sanctified children of God, wringing their hands and saying, Pastor, I just don't know what we're going to do. I just don't know what we're going to do. I'm going to tell you what to do tonight. Y'all with me? Hopefully, I'll be able to share some things tonight that has not been recently said, but I'm not going to hold myself to that. When I open up the book of Jude, of course, when you read the background for the book of Jude, there's much information given in a variety of different places that Jude, of course, was the half-brother of Jesus, because Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Ghost. We know that by Scripture. And there are those that we know that were also related to Jesus, brothers and sisters, and how the Bible talks about that. That's not really the message, but the Bible actually opens this up. And he defines himself in Jude chapter number 1. Now, when I say chapter 1, that's a habit because there's only one chapter to the book of Jude. And there's 25 verses. And again, I'm going to try to share as much as I can. Even in 25 verses, Jude is a power-packed book. There is enough material in here to preach days, in my opinion, on. But we can open up in verse number 1 of chapter 1, and then we're going to skip around a little bit. He identifies as the servant, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace be multiplied. Well, that all sounds good. That sounds like a great introductory to the ones that are sanctified, to the church, to the blessed of the abode of heaven. And the rest of this chapter should be flowing in blessings and benefits and all the things that we can adapt to as Christians. But there's something in the book of Jude that needs to be said in the very beginning of this. Because Jude, according to commentary, he was writing this as a solemn warning to the Christians. He was writing this to a solemn warning to the Christians at this time and at this age. And as he began to write to them, he began to write in a warning to them. And what he was writing to them was simply this. And what he was saying was, for the people that he was writing to, for them to be not removed from the truth. How many of you know the Bible says the truth will set you free? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jude wrote this to believers as a warning because he was warning them about the apostasy of the day. The apostasy that was creeping into the lives of the believers. There was great heresies that was there. And the people of this day, Jude's day, watch this. According to commentary, it said that they became very vulnerable to heresies. Now, and then they became not only very vulnerable to heresies, but they became vulnerable to an immoral lifestyle that would follow the apostasy that would soon sink in to the people that was involved. You say, well, I'm a child of God and I've been living for God for 48 and a half years and that would never happen to me. Well, take a nap because the rest of the people may need to hear it. I didn't mean that disrespectful. But you know and I know that there are some folks that believe that they are untouchable. That they've lived for God so long that none of these things could ever affect them. Newsflash. I too have lived for God for 40 years. But I too know, Brother West, what the Bible says. Well, please tell us, Pastor. Thank you. Because the Bible, even in Jude's day, Jude was writing this. And he told them in verse 3. And this is very important. Because when Jude was writing this, Jude was saying, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. First of all, Jude said, I've done this with all diligence. I wonder how long it's been since the world at large has done anything with diligence towards the things of heaven. Now, Jude wrote this, and when Jude began to write this, he says these words. And as I begin to ponder over these words ever since Sunday, these words have echoed in my heart. I started to preach this Sunday and Sunday night, and I just didn't feel the release on it, and God's again dealt with me several days about it. But when Jude wrote this, he wrote to them about their salvation, common salvation. And I'll get more into that in a few minutes. Then he says, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. Several things in that text comes to my mind. First of all, Jude again was saying this in the first part of that I gave my diligence. When I think about diligence, I think about something that is done with intent, something that has taken my time to do, something that I've done directly, something that I've done on purpose, something that was very needful for me to do that. Jude wrote this to this church. Because according to this, when Jude wrote these words, he said it was needful. It was needful for me to write this unto you. Why? Why? Because Jude began to see things in the church that he would never have even dreamed of happening in the church. And he was saying, and this is me, he was saying, oh, this is not blasphemy, I promise. But Jude was saying, oh my God, I cannot believe I'm looking at this. I cannot believe my eyes, and I cannot believe what I'm looking at. Now, I know to you, you're saying, well, preacher, I don't have a clue where you're going with this. But it don't take a whole lot to figure out today, everybody's not Pentecostal. It don't take a whole lot today to figure out that every church is not a holiness church. It don't take a whole lot to figure out today that there are those that call themselves Christians that are Christians in name only and have way far removed themselves from the holiness of God and the things of God. We are living at a crossroads in the church. Paul told Timothy. You know the scripture, and again, I don't want to be all redundant and repetitive, but even in that, even in Paul's writings to young Timothy and what Paul was telling Timothy, think about that, 2,000 years ago. And look at the moral decay that I read through it today, just reading through it real quick. I read through it again today in the book of Genesis, how that the Bible described the heart of man from Adam even all the way down, short six generations, I believe it was, to the time of Noah. How that man's hearts were corrupted. And how that the Bible says that their hearts was upon evil continually. Now, it may not be nobody in this room. But again, we're living in some days that you and I, we better pay attention to our Christian walk. We better pay attention to our Christian living. You say, well, preacher, I'm living just exactly as God would have me to live. Hallelujah and praise God. But I'll be honest with you. I don't have wings yet. And every day I live, my friend, I'm, Brother West, I'm conscientiously aware of the simple fact that I better keep my heart right with God today. I better stay between the porch and the altar. I better keep myself in the love of God. And I better keep myself close to God. You know why? I'll tell you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Here's what the Word of God says. When you begin to look into the 1 Timothy again, this is what Paul began to say in 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with an hot iron. In other words, Paul was saying that there is a day coming, and this is the scripture, where that men will be calling evil good and good evil. It may not happen in Thomasville. It may not be happening in the local church near you. But friend, there is a deterioration of what's going on in our culture today. There is a unseen world that you and I don't see with our physical eye. Several years ago, Joyce Meyer wrote the book, The Battlefield of the Mind. There's an unseen world that is, and many people will mock you to scorn when you talk about it. But again, Scripture you all know, but you don't need to turn there, but he talks about this in Ephesians, for we know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The thing that you are engaged in and the thing that I'm engaged in is not a militant thing that happens within the human flesh, if you will, the other people, if you will, even though those things happen, but at the root of that is Lucifer, Beelzebub, Satan, the old dragon. Satan is behind every single bit of it. And if the enemy can get you and I to the place where that we would give over to things today. I seen a post the other day on Facebook, and please don't think that I'm trying to be critical, because I'm not trying to be critical, but it made me think. Okay? It made me think, and that's all it did was made me think. And this was the post that I saw. It was on one of the community things, and I thought about it. And it says, and I know what they're saying, and we do the same thing with music, so don't throw eggs at me yet. But it's the way it was said that got my attention. Where is a good contemporary church to go to in Davidson County? Now, I ain't against our music. I'm not against contemporary music. But I will say this, that everything that speaks to the anatomy of the flesh is not God. Did that come out right? We've got to be extremely careful. Why? Because there's a devil loose. There's a devil, maybe not in this room as far as the people that we're talking to tonight, but there is a spirit loose today that doesn't want the standard of living holy before God. We're just looking for something that'll make us feel good. Amen? So, again, I'm trying to be very careful when I say that, but I'm saying that based upon what the Scripture says and how I felt that God was speaking to me as I began to walk my way through this. So he says again, Paul was saying this, speaking lies and hypocrisy. And again, the reason I questioned that question is because I didn't know really what that meant. I know what it means when you talk about, I guess in some regards, contemporary music. I mean, I understand that, but I didn't understand really what they were looking for when they asked the question. And this is me. This is not my notes. I'm looking for somewhere where the Bible's preached, and where God is glorified and Jesus Christ is Lord with an uncompromisable standard. And the reason I say that is simply this, because you can find anything and everything under the sun in the name of Christianity today. You can find it anywhere. Maybe you don't know that, but there is a spectrum across the board. You say, well, preacher, you're too traditional, and you're still living in this era or that era. No, I hope I'm living in a Bible era. I know it's 2023. I'm aware of that. I understand that. But here's the thing that scares me. It's simply because you and I, we must stay true to the truth of God's Word. Lay aside everything else I've already said and hear this. Because what Jude was warning them against was not just a contemporary song. It was this thing called apostasy. And we'll get into that. It's this thing called apostasy. What is it? What is it? And apostasy is defined in the Encyclopedia Britannica as this: a total rejection of Christianity by a baptized person who, having at one time professed Christ or confessed the Christian faith, but now publicly rejects it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Pluralism says there's many pathways to God. You've got to just find your own path and get to Him. Come on, somebody. There's this thing called the pluralism, and you have the whole gamut of New Age and the whole process of the people's thinking today. There may be those, and I don't know anyone personally this way, so I have to be careful and not stereotype and stigmatize people in my words. But apostasy is those that have fallen away in their faith. And now they're putting their faith in other things other than God. This is what Jude was teaching against. Jude told them that, and I'll get to it eventually. The second thing we see is simply this. Not only is apostasy the total rejection of Christianity by a baptized person who having at one time professed their Christian faith. You may know somebody at one time was in the church. You may know somebody at one time actually confessed to loving God. You may know somebody tonight that at one time lived a Christian life. That whatever happened through their lives now won't even darken the door of a church. And here's the dangerous thing. Well, the preacher let me down. The Sunday school teacher let me down. My mama let me down. My daddy let me down. My cousins let me down. Somebody let me down. Can I tell you tonight? Somebody's always going to let you down, but Jesus never fails. He will not let you down. Are we okay tonight? But again, Jude was warning this. Another thing is this thing called apostasy is distinguished from heresy, which is again limited to the rejection of one or more Christian doctrine, but one that maintains an overall adherence to Jesus Christ. Paul was talking about this. Apostasy, and there's a couple of verses I wanted to read to you. And this is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And this is those, again, that Paul was writing to, and he warned them in society. 2 Thessalonians, again, when we look at it, and maybe we'll get back to Timothy in a minute, Kathy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And this is what he says. She's so good. I appreciate her being up there. Makes my job easier. Now, this is what, again, Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica. He said, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the gathering together unto Him. Look at verse 2 and 3. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of the Lord at hand. Again, Paul was saying, don't be troubled. Don't be troubled and let no man deceive you by any means. If I shut my Bible right now and went to the house and got me a bowl of vanilla ice cream, I would have preached tonight. Hello? Why are you saying that, preacher? Because of that right there. Let no man deceive you. So this brings me to not only Paul's writings to Timothy, and I'll get back to that in a minute, but Paul's writings to the church of Thessalonica as well as Jude. Every one of them, and Peter is in there too. I don't know if I'll get to Peter tonight, but I hope to. But every single one of them, Brother Wes, when you go back and read them, all of them, every one of them, was warning people about falling away. Every single one of them. Every one of them. That brings me to another statement. There are those that believe that grace covers it all. I'll get to the end of this later tonight. There are those that believe that grace covers it all. Heard a preacher one time when I was just a young feller. He said, I believe in grace as long as you stay in grace. And I know the grace of God is something, my friend, that is in a lot of elements and a lot of degrees is very mysterious to me, because I don't know why God would love somebody like me. Come on, somebody. But He did, and it was because of His grace. But this right here is talking about a total different aspect of when an individual intentionally and on purpose Let me use this term because this is the term I've always used, and I think we need to be careful even in the church today, because when somebody intentionally and on purposely denies the Lord Jesus Christ, such as would even be spitting in His face and saying, God, I don't want You no more. And I know that blows away grace. I know that's troubling. I understand that. But there's a solemn warning in the Bible that you and I do not be moved away from the faith. Why? And that we do not fall away. Why? Because there's impending judgment upon those, even in Jude's day. Because Jude seen the heresy. Jude seen the apostasy of the day. And in that, Jude was writing to them, and he was giving them a solid warning. Again, Paul was saying here, he says, don't be deceived. You say, well, we're Church of God. We're Assembly of God. We're PH. We're this or we're that. We'll never be moved away from the faith. Let me tell you something, friend. The devil gets everybody. He tries to come at everybody. And he'll do anything and everything that he can to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But in this, when you begin to look at this, he said in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. The title of the message, stay true to the truth. Hello? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth of God's Word. Hold on to the truth of the Bible. Hold on to the truth of God. And He says, let no man deceive you. You know who is most vulnerable in our society today? Is our children and our young people. That's why it's important that we have solid biblical teaching. And the young people today are not illiterate, but the young people today become literate in the Bible and understanding the Bible. Because children are vulnerable. Children are teachable. And children sometimes will believe anything that an adult tells them. And I'm sick of the devil. I'm tired of the devil. And we're raising children and young children and grandchildren and on. And the devil's going to do anything he can. So adults today, it's very imperative that you and I hold on to the truth, because we've got little eyes and we got little hearts that are tender right now. And they're watching us. They're going to see what our grandparents do. I is a grandparent now. Lord, that flipped me out just thinking about that. I am a grandpa. Come on, somebody. Got four of them. And I don't get to spend much time with any of them. But yet I want to be the example to them when they're around me. You do too, don't you? Lord, this is one of them two-hour messages. Let me just read this. He says in verse 3, he says, let no man deceive you. Why again was Paul writing this? This is how I interpreted that. And because deception is at large, because it's everywhere. I don't know how much you look around today and see things in our culture today, in our young people, and what our young people are adhering to. And there's things that I will not get into tonight that I know, and things that I see, and the mind of the millennials and those that have bought into this whole thing. That God is no more than a myth. That's troubling. I'm going to tell you something. This is off the record. It's not my notes. And I can't go here because I'll stay too long. But I will say the Bible says that men love darkness rather than light. John 1. You don't need to turn there. But he says that in John 1. That light come into the world. And Jesus was the light of the world. And that men's deeds were evil, and because their deeds were evil, that men love darkness rather than light. And that makes me do a checkup from the neck up and ask my own heart this evening, what am I in love with? I'm not trying to be critical. I have to be very careful lest I seem to be offensive without me intending to be offensive. I don't want to be offensive. And these preachers, they can preach it their way when they get ready to preach. But we've got a problem in the church. And the reason I say, and I hope that camera's right on my face, because if we can go do anything else and be comfortable doing it, I'm not talking about taking a vacation. I'm going to take one in a few weeks. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about if we in our flesh, in our desires, if we love things and we love stuff more than we love God, we need to evaluate our own life. I'm not talking about taking the time off and doing a few things for a day or two to relax. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about inside of your heart. And I'm concerned. I start to say worried, and somebody would chastise me for that. But I'm concerned about the church today. Do we really love Him the way that we say we love Him? Sometimes Martha and the girls, they'll sing this song. And actually, the first time I ever heard it, Martha's sister sung it, I think. It talks about falling in love with Jesus. And if we don't fall in love with Jesus again in the church, this is what's ahead, friend. You can get mad at the preacher tonight if you want to. But if we don't make Jesus Christ the priority of our life and the priority of our church, let no man deceive you. For that day shall not come. The day of the Lord will not come. And he says this, except there be a falling away. Some folks may think that that's the rapture, the catching away. That is not the rapture, and that's not the catching away. That is simply saying that the spirit of the age and the spirit of the Antichrist is going to be so prevalent upon the land before the coming of God, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that men, women, boys and girls, let me tell you something, friend. If you and I don't live intentionally for God, it's not going to happen accidentally. And then he talks about the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. When is all that going to take place? Thessalonians thought that Jesus had already come. Read it. Read the commentary on it. That's why Paul wrote this. They thought that Jesus had already come, that they had missed the coming of Jesus. Paul wrote this back. And Paul wrote these two books, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And he told them this. Now, that's one good thing about COVID. Some of you remember this. During COVID, we were what? Quarantined. Stayed at home. You know what I did on Tuesday, and you know what I did on Friday? Mainly Tuesday. I done a Bible study online every Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock for months, 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 and months. We went through the whole two books of Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. It's a good study and I loved it and I enjoyed it. I'd love to do it again. But here's the thing that I learned from that. Is that when Paul was writing this, he told them that there's going to be some events happen before the coming of the Lord. Somebody says, are you pre-mid or post? I'm pre-trib, but I do know that there's going to be the beginning of sorrow. I do know there's things going to happen that's going to take place before the rapture. I believe that now this is me, you preach it your way when you get to preach, but I believe that every demon in hell is going to do anything and everything it can to discourage the church and to get the church off track, to get the church discouraged, to get the church to fall away, to get you to fall out of love with Jesus and to get you discouraged and to get you to look back to the things of the world more to the things of God and to get your heart attracted to the things of the world. Paul again, when we think about what Paul was saying again to this in Thessalonians, that man of perdition. He says this in the Word of God. It refers to apostasy. Before the Antichrist can come on the scene, he will dilute society. Is our society today being diluted? And Jesus, my friend, told us this. Jesus came for the church. And the Bible says that he's coming back for the church. And he reminds us that you and I are not to be moved away from the faith. When we think about that. And again, when we preach like this, and I already know this, I know everybody ain't going to like this type of a message, but the fact of the matter is, I'd rather have the anointing of God and to be able to speak what I'm speaking than the applause of men any day. And again, God is saying, warn. And God is saying that you need to tell. Apostasy is this. Apostasia in the Greek, it actually means a falling away. Question, are you closer now to God than you've ever been in all of your life? And you might say, well, I used to really love God a whole lot more. Who's moved? Now, I'm preaching to the choir and the pew tonight, and myself. I'm from the pulpit to the pew. I'm talking to me. Do I love Jesus more now than I've ever loved Him in all of my life? And if I don't, who's moved? And you say, well, preacher, I'm older and I just can't do what I used to do. Who said anything about that? I'm talking about loving Jesus. Staying in love with Him. I mean, God says that the church is the apple of His eye. Israel, the apple of His eye. God's got His eye on you. And you say, well, I've been waiting on God. No, God's waiting on you. James said to draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. Well, I'm just waiting on God to nudge me. 2,000 years ago on the cross, He died. He nudged you. Come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. If there's anything we in the church need to do, we need to be running towards God and not away from God. But there's a falling away. There's a running away from God. And it just hurts my heart to see it. And you don't have to look far beyond the pew to look around us this evening to know that, and this irritates me, Brother Marlowe. Irritates me. Is it okay if I get irritated for a minute? Years ago, people did not mow their yards on Sunday. They respected Sunday. I go towards the house all the time. People out there on those zero turns are getting that yard mowed on Sunday. People say, well, I work all week and it's the only time that I got to do it. I understand that. And I'm not going to fall out with people. I'm just making a statement. And the schoolhouses used to, Brother West, we could build a youth group because the youth could be expected to be at church on Wednesday nights and etc. What are they doing now? Right over here at the school near us, I didn't name the school, I was respectful, but yet they, through the season, they'll do the junior varsity right on a Wednesday night, play that game on Wednesday night. You say, well, that don't hurt nothing, preacher. Yeah, it does, because mamas and daddies that used to take their children to church on Wednesday night, now they're sitting in bleachers somewhere. You say, well, you're too hard. No, I'm not. Jesus is coming. Hell is long and hot, and it's for eternity. And you say, well, you're just getting preachy now. No, I'm telling you my heart. Because this is what Jude was saying. And there's two more hours of preaching than just what I prepared for tonight. When we go back to Timothy for just a minute, there's a solemn warning that comes out of Timothy, and we can go right back there, Kathy, where we were at. This is what he begins to say in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with an hot iron, forbidden to marry, commanded to abstain from meats, and which God hath created to receive with thanksgiving to them which believe and now and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Again, Paul was saying again in this scripture that men will be given heed to socialistic rules and laws and guides and things of that nature more so than the word of God. Your diet is your business. That's not what my point is. But Paul jumps right across the page in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Dangerous times shall come. You ever seen a day when you didn't even know? This is 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. That you didn't even know if you went to the mall or not, that whether or not you would get into a shooting or something happened near you. I didn't say nothing to Sherry. Why would I want to alarm my wife, right? So I was at a gas station, I won't tell you where, yesterday, getting gas. And this guy drove up to the front door of this convenience store. Had a hoodie on, and there's nothing against people wearing hoodies. I don't want to stigmatize, I don't want to stereotype. Brother Dodd, something about it alarmed my spirit. So he pulled right up to the front door where he could leave the cash register, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and be right in his car. I looked at it. You know what I did? I was pumping gas and I got behind a steel pole. I didn't tell Sherry. I got behind a steel pole until I could see, until I could get that thing to cut off, get in my gas, and get in my car and leave. Why? I had a check in my spirit. As our son used to say, my danger alert went off. I didn't like what I seen. I was very uncomfortable in my environment. But how many of us as kids used to have to think about that? Never. Never. Brother Jesse, we'd leave on our bicycles and go play all day long, 6, 7, 8 hours. What kind was it? Fruit of the Loom or something? Whatever you could get. Some of that penny candy that come off the bottom of the shelf. Hey, kid, listen, guys. We used to be able to get 25 pieces of candy for a quarter. I lie you not. And those of you that's older than me, you used to be able to get 50 pieces for a quarter. Come on, somebody. It's a half a cent. That was totally off the record. Perilous times shall come. You say, well, where are you going to end this thing, Pastor? I don't know where to end it. I've not even got into the meat of what I want to talk about. So, again, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. That means you're more concerned for yourself than you are for your neighbor sitting next to you. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciple, by your love one to another. Love God first, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the word. But then we can see where he says that they become proud and blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Hello? Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. I'm going to be really respectful right here. Brother Marlowe and Brother Dodd, y'all, if I get myself in trouble, my keys is right there. I'll meet you at my car. Here's the thing. Natural affection. Go read Romans chapter number 1. And it says that men will leave the natural state of being with women and men with men. And women will do the same thing, leaving the natural state with man, and then they'll cling to each other. You say, well, are you a bigot? Are you a hater? Are you preaching a hate message? No, I'm telling you that Jesus loves you, and I'm telling you that you can change. You can change that lifestyle. That it is totally contrary to the Word of God. And there are those today that will say, but it's okay. God understands. God understands what He's already written in His Word for you to be able to escape the evil that has trickled down throughout humanity all the way throughout the Old Testament. Lot was even involved in it. If you've read your Bible lately, Lot was involved in it. The ones that came and they wanted the men. They said, well, take my... No, I don't want your daughters. I want men. And you say, well, preacher, you're just really just plowing the corn tonight. You're just really getting too plain and you're just putting it too simple tonight. And we get it. Just move on. We have a problem. We have a problem that if we don't stand up for the truth, I thought about it today. I thought, man, people ain't going to like you when you start standing up for the truth. But I'd rather have God like me. And worry about what man thinks. And I'm going to go ahead and say this, and then I'm going to try to wrap it up here in the next 25 minutes. Just kidding. Is this okay on a Wednesday night? I mean, I hope it is. I mean, I know it's a lot on a Wednesday night, and you think, well, why in the world are you preaching this on a Wednesday night? I just have to preach what God puts in my heart. This is the spirit of the day. This is the spirit of the age. And we've got a danger. I've been told, well, things are different now, and it ain't like it used to be when you was a kid and growing up. No, it ain't. I mean, it's different. But now young people, not these, I mean, I'm not pointing out young people in this room tonight. Please don't say that I am. But so many young people today, they have found a, and I don't mean to be straightforward, guys, but I ain't got no other, I'm a country boy. I'm not eloquent. I don't know what to say or how to say it sometime. But they've chosen lifestyles today that society has pushed. And I got a text message the other day, and I'd already been working on all this in my mind by a church in Texas where they're raising funds for a community event with men dressed up like drag queens and coming into the church and doing lasciviousness, unclean things, and saying that it's okay. It's not. It's not. And then they pump this stuff into our young people today where that our young people don't even have a gender identity to themselves because somebody has put an X on their birth certificate and let them decide when they get older. It don't take long to figure out what you are, friend. And you say, well, there's so many emotional traumas in our society and in our world. There is. It's everywhere. But I'm just coming by just a short little message tonight and to tell anybody and everybody, I'm not a bigot, I'm not mad at nobody, but I'm just trying to say that Jesus is the answer. And then I get kicked back on, well, Jesus might be your answer, but I found my way. It don't change. Men try to fill their hearts with things today that is always going to end up empty at the end of the day. Because they tell me that there's a God-shaped vacuum in every person's heart. And God is the only one that'll fit into their heart. Now let me try my best to find a jump-off point. Because I'm not going to get finished. When Jude, I'll have to go back to Jude. I'll pick up on some other stuff lately or next time. So when Jude began to write this, he says, stay true to the truth. And I'm going to give you some scripture really fast if you're writing down. And I mean, I cannot get through with all of it. I know I'm not going to get done with it. I'm not even going to try. So I'm going to do a little bitty nutshell of what would take me another 30 minutes to do. I'm going to give it to you really, really quick. So what do we do in the church? Jude was writing this, and Jude began to, again, write to those that he was writing to at this time. And he says in the scripture, he said, you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. Contend for the faith, that original faith that was given to you. In other words, when you were 18 or 25 or 35 and you got your heart right with God, you got saved, you got born again, you know you were born again. When Jude was writing this, because he was talking about those that was falling away in apostasy, he says this, he said, hey, you should earnestly contend, you should hold on to it. If there's ever been a day, we need to hold on to the things of God, my friend. We need to hold on to it. He said, contend. In other words, that word struggle. And then he says, which was once delivered to the saints. Here in verse 4, he says this. He said, for there are certain men crept in unawares. Don't be caught unaware. Be alert, be vigilant, be sober. Because your adversary, the devil, he goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Don't go to sleep at the wheel, church. Pastor Green, keep your eyes open. Be alert. It takes 24/7 for me to do this. You think, well, when do you sleep? I'm sleeping at night. I wake up sometimes. God lets me sleep most of the time. But when I wake up, Brother Dodge, you know this, even in the middle of the night, you feel like your spirit is awake and aware, and you're praying and you're thinking for the church. I'm telling you the truth. I told somebody the other day, I said, if there was a young preacher today and he wants to be a pastor, I would probably tell them, and it's been said this in the Church of God state offices, and guys going through the intern program, and if you can go anywhere else and do anything and be content and be happy, go and do it, and don't preach. Don't pastor. You know why? Because that means your heart's in other things and not in pastoring and preaching. But if your heart's in it, it's not work. It's your labor of love. Because at that time, Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. Brother Dodd, I don't know how long you pastored. And Harold, I don't know y'all's total history. Bob, you know this from being in the church for years. And Brother West, it's a total life surrender. You never get out from under the call of God. You walk in it daily. Every day. It drives you. It pushes you. You never get a release from it. And it pushes you every day. Somebody says, you need a vacation. I'm going to take one in a couple weeks. God help me. But this is what he was saying. There's three things real fast. I've got to give you these three things. Because this is what's going to put the icing on the cake. I didn't get finished with you. There's no way to get done with it. No way. So how are we in the church today going to stay true to the truth? Three things real quick. I want you to hear this, church. I think these are foundational. They're simple. But they're life-changing. Not only for the church at large, but church as individuals. Number one is simply this. This is so simple. When you look at this, he was saying in verse number 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not, angels that left their first estate. I don't have time to get into all of that. But look at this in the beginning, verse 5, that middle part of that verse. Though you once knew this. They knew it. You one time knew it. But now you're moved away and now you're not walking in it. I'm warning you to get your heart back with God. Angels that left their first estate. Judgment, impending judgment is coming upon them that do this. So how do we deal with this? How are we going to do this? First of all, how are we going to hold on in the last days and when we see these things coming. First of all, when we see the perilous times. This is very simplistic. I don't have time to give all the Bible reading on it. I'm going to give it to you just by where the scripture is. But this is so simple. How are we going to keep apostasy from slipping into the church? Number one is simply this. This is so simple. Hold on to your faith in Christ. That is so simple. How do I do that? Be faithful to God. Paul was telling this in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, 18 and 19. We're not going to turn there. And then in 1 Timothy 6, 11 through 12, again, this is where faith has been entrusted into them. Number two is simply this. This again is what James was saying. James chapter 1 verses 2 through 8. You could read it there. So first of all, how are we going to keep apostasy from slipping into the church and slipping into our lives? You're going to hold on to your faith in Christ. You're going to be faithful to God. Number two is this. Do not waver from the truth of God's word. I know those that dispute God's word, those that want to argue God's word over a New International Version or a King James Version or all of this stemmed out of translations. The King James is a translation. I'm not going to get hung up over a thee or a thou. I'm not going to get hung up on that. But here's the issue. If they change the truth of God into a lie, if you take something that has been written that moves you away from the doctrinal element of Jesus Christ and who Jesus is, I got a word from heaven for you. Run. Run. Get away from it. Anything that don't glorify and edify and lift up Jesus, get away from it. James even says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He says he's like the wave on a sea. And the only way I can put that in today's vernacular and country boy lingo is this. He's wishy-washy. He don't know what he believes. He don't know if he's washing or hanging out. He don't know if he's in a barn or out of the barn. He don't know what's going on. But God says if you're going to go to heaven, you've got to put your trust in Jesus. You've got to put your confidence in Jesus. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Our world, Brother Jonathan, y'all are sitting way over here. The world today will try to discredit the Bible. They'll discredit Jesus. Sometimes it'll get in your mind, it'll get in your heart, and it'll make you question whether or not God and God's Word is even true. Hey, don't even embrace it. Don't even give place to the devil. You know God's Word is true. Cling to God's Word. I thought to myself here just a few days ago, I had rather cling to God's Word now, watch this, and find out in eternity that it was wrong, I've still lived a good life, than to not live God's Word and to go into eternity and find out that every bit of it was truth and be judged and miss heaven. Third thing, real fast, I've got to hurry. Third thing. First thing is you cling to God with everything within you. You set a standard of living for God's people. Hold on to the faith in Christ. Be faithful to God. Number two is do not waver from the truth of God's Word. James reminds us of that. James 1, 2 through 8. Number three is simply this, and this is the big one. This is the biggest one of them all. Y'all ready for this? You got your seatbelt fastened? Here we go. Don't let what is accepted by today's culture become your casualty. Stay unified, not only just with each other, but stay unified with God. And the reason I believe that God put that in my heart today is simply this, because we're living in the day of pop culture. Whatever feels the best in our culture today, that is what people are running to and clinging to. When Jude wrote this, Jude seen what was going on in the church. Jude seen what was going on with those that named themselves as Christians. And the way I understand this, and the only way I can understand it, is when he wrote this, there must have been an influx because of the rest of what he said. And I'll get back to it. I don't want to leave you hanging too long. But there must have been an influx of total, Brother West, of total immorality that had infiltrated the church. No, we're not going to be popular. We may not be the biggest church in town. We may not be the most charismatic, and we may not be the most contemporary church in town. But I tell you one thing that's in my heart is not to waver from God's Word and not to waver from Him. And holiness, my friend, is not hair, makeup, jewelry, and earrings. That's not holiness. That's personal convictions, and what you want to do, you do. But holiness, God requires. Without holiness, no man shall see God. Holiness comes out of your heart. And it is a total 100%, absolute, 100% sold out to Jesus. Hook, line, and sinker. Don't let the enemy slip in. They came in unawares. In our slowly dying society, there are so many. God help our boys, help our young children today. There are so many that are just falling prey to the enemy. And many today that are unaware. You know why? And I got to hush. You know why people are so unaware today? Because they don't study the Word of God. And they don't read the Bible. And they don't pray. And they don't have an earnest about them to know Jesus the way that you and I have been taught to love Him. The statistics, Brother Dodge, you may have to help me here. The statistics says that in America, how that Christianity continued to drop, they now consider if you go to church once a quarter or twice a quarter or something like that, that you're a full-time church attendee. And we've fallen into that. What if you only went to work every other Thursday? What if you ever went to work, you know, when you wanted to? There's going to be a payday one day, folks. And I believe, if I'm reading Scripture right, that God's keeping a record. And Brother Isom could tell me what the Bible says. He's a Bible scholar. But the Bible teaches us that man's going to give an account for every work and every deed that he's done. Brother West, I don't want to come up short on that day. I want you to stand with me. I've not tried to be rude. I've not tried to be ugly. I've not tried to be straightforward too much. But we got to pay attention, folks, where we're living today. We do. And somebody may say, well, preacher, that's good for you and for those that around you, but for it ain't for me. Yes, it is. It's for you. God's no respect for persons. And the Bible said that whosoever will, let him call upon the name of the Lord, and they shall be saved. Don't isolate yourself from the blessings of God. Don't isolate yourself from the blessings of eternity. God has blessings for us. He wants to bless us. But God's looking for a people to bless. He's looking for a people to pour His Holy Spirit on. And my friend, even in the Old Testament, they had to put a lamb up for 14 days. And that lamb had to be prepared before it could ever become an offering before God. And God's looking for people today that's living for Him, because He wants to pour out His Holy Spirit. He wants to pour out on us. Father, I thank You tonight, God. I thank You, Father, because Your Word is truth. Not what I think and not my opinion about anything, but God, Your Word. Lord, I tried to stay just as true to Your Word tonight, God, as I could with what I understood and what I understand You saying. But God, You're looking today upon us, and You're looking for a people today that, God, that You want to pour out on. That You want to pour Your Holy Spirit out on. And Father, we say even now, God, make us available. We make ourselves available to You, Lord. Every person in this room, young and old, we look to heaven and we say, Lord, here I am. Lord, use me. Take me, God. Here I am. I give my life to You, Father. Let me be the vessel, God, that You would have me to be. Lord, let my heart be a dwelling place for You, Holy Spirit. And God, everything right now just seems like a fairy tale, or it seems like something that is way off in La La Land somewhere. But one day, after a while, we'll stand before You in the great judgment of God, whether at the judgment seat, the bema seat, or we'll stand at the great white throne judgment. But God will stand somewhere one day, guilty or not guilty. And God, You said in Your Word that You'd separate the sheep from the goats. And You'd say to them, depart from Me. I don't know You. And Father, it's been my plea tonight, God, to stir my own heart up. And God, let me not miss heaven. Let me not miss You. And Father, I thank You for what You're doing. In Jesus' name. Before you're dismissed, do you need to say anything about the conference? Friday night,